Good morning.
This has come before God as we come to His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come now to Your Word this morning. Father, humble our hearts and our minds. Father, make them soft and supple this morning. Father, we would hear from You. Father, we'd hear Your Word this morning. Father, teach us by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might live to walk in Your ways. We just ask and pray these things now, Lord. Let all glory be to You, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, there are big moments in our lives that we all remember. You might remember when you graduated from high school or from university. You might remember a milestone, birthday, or anniversary. We should all remember our wedding day and the day our children were born. Now, these were all big moments in our lives. And we remember them because for us, they were life-changing moments. They impact on our lives in that moment of time. And our memory holds on to them as a point of importance. They are milestones, stepping stones in the pathway of our lives. But what about God? Do we put the same momentous importance on our memories of God and how they have impacted our lives? Or do we just let them linger in the background like a far-off voice of conscience? So it should be of first most importance above all else to remember who God is and how God has acted in our lives. So if you like, we can sum up this morning's passage in just two words. Remember God. Amen. We've got 3 points this morning we get from our passage. Firstly, remember God for your own sake. Secondly, remember God for the sake of others. And third, remember God, for He is God, and He is worthy of remembrance. So we start reading verse 9. Only give heed to yourself, and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. We're told, be careful, watch yourselves. When it comes to our own physical health and appearance, we tend to keep an eye on ourselves. Look at the scales, Russ. You've put on a couple of kilos. Why are my eyes so blurry? Maybe I should get them checked. My hair seems to be sticking up a bit this morning. Maybe I should have combed it. Or maybe I need to get a haircut. We tend to take notice of these things, to take care of ourselves in a physical sense. But what about our spiritual lives? We're told to keep your soul diligently. This attains as much to us today as it did to the Israelites as they are about to enter the promised land. As we take care of our physical life, we should also take care of our spiritual life. What is our spiritual health like? This is important for all believers. Jeremiah writes for us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The people of Israel who came out of Egypt were gross in heart. They delighted in the food of Egypt more than God. They were careless of their new freedoms. They were immoral and their hearts were easily turned to idolatry. Now the next generation of Israel were about to enter the promised land because the former generation had failed to do so. They all died in the desert because of their disobedience and because of their lack of faith. So this new generation is told, keep your soul diligently. Don't fall into the same traps your fathers fell into. And this is a warning for us too. The heart is still deceitful and wicked. We still want what we want. We readily take delight in the things of this world over God. We're easily led to be careless with our freedom in Christ. And our hearts are easily turned to idolatry, just like Israel. Only our idols are things like sport and money and power and entertainment. Be warned. Guard your hearts. Guard your soul. The psalmist writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me. What do you do when you're on your own? How do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? What do you think about and delight in?" D.L. Moody once said, "If you are not daily being tempted, then you are too much in the world. You're falling into the same traps as Israel did coming out of Egypt. Guard your soul and keep it diligently. Why? That you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, and you do not depart from these things all the days of your life." Last week's passage dealt with Israel being reminded of the commands and statutes of God. In today's passage, they are reminded to not just remember the commands and statutes they received, but also what they saw. God revealed himself at Sinai in a manner which was suitable for the occasion. Nowhere has God revealed himself in a manner with such awesome accompaniments as he did to Israel at Mount Sinai. And these accompaniments were appropriate for the solemnity of the occasion. The people of Israel received God's law. They entered into covenant with God. The remembrance of that awesome sight was to go hand in hand with the commands and statutes they received. It was the remembering of God, the God that gave them. Look at the Pharisees of the New Testament. They multiplied the law by adding their own, but they failed to keep their souls. They forgot God himself. When we stop making God a priority, we eventually come to the place where we forget God altogether. This is true in our own lives when we do something and our conscience warns us, yet we willingly choose to ignore it. Our eyes are far from looking for the grace of God. And the more we choose not to, the more we fail to look inwardly and to above to God and to heed the warning, the further we get from God, until we forget him altogether. And we are living lives that we'll one day be ashamed of. As Israel was to remember God in the awesome display of Sinai, we have to remember that God became flesh. Jesus said at the Last Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're to keep our souls and not forget all that Christ has done for us. May we never lose sight of our Saviour and Lord. May we never forget all that he has done for us. And may we never forget that glorious third day when he rose triumphantly from the grave. Israel was to remember God for their own sake. With the law came the threats and warnings of God if they failed to keep it. He would depart from them and give them over to their enemies, and they would be taken into exile. So Peter tells us to be diligent, to confirm your calling and election. And Jesus warned those who keep false pretense, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So our first point this morning is this: keep your soul diligently. Remember God for your own sake. Boy. So our second lesson this morning is remember God for the sakes of others. We are told in verse 9, do not forget the things you have seen. Then the verse finishes, make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Verse 10 then states, remember. Israel was to remember the day they stood before God at Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. So that they may learn to fear God all the days of their lives. That they may teach their children. It was the responsibility of the people to remember the awesome presence of God and the laws that he gave and to pass them on to the next generation. And take note, their responsibility didn't stop there, for they were also to teach their grandchildren. They'll first remember what they saw and then to remember what they heard. Moses then gives a brief account of what happened that day in verses 10, 11 and 12. It was truly a day to remember, a day of spectacle like no other. And I want you to think for a moment. If I was to give you a bunch of rules this morning and ask you to remember them, then I was to show you something spectacular. Wonder which one you'd remember. I know what I'd remember, and it wouldn't be the bunch of laws. But if you put the two together, the spectacular should help you to remember the law by its association. That's part of the spectacle of Mount Sinai, that they would hear God's words and see his mighty presence and learn to fear him. That is to hold God in holy reverence and awe all the days of their lives. Israel was to remember to make these things known to their children and to their children's children. If they forgot, then they would fail their own children and leave them to ruin, because their children would not know God and they would fall into sin and be cast from the land of promise. So God gave them a day to remember, and keep in mind, this is the next generation to which Moses is speaking. All their parents had died in the desert because of their sins. So how do we remember? The more of our senses that are engaged, the more easily we will remember. At Sinai, the people saw the great sight. And they felt the tremor of the earth, and they heard the voice of God. How do our children first learn the Bible? They learn by us telling them stories. What a story the people of Israel had to pass on to their children and to their grandchildren. I can remember the Bible stories I heard growing up from Mum and Dad around the kitchen table in the evening. I can still see the book and the illustrations in it that they used, even though it's probably long fallen apart. I can remember going to Sunday school and in the classroom they had a wooden sandpit on legs. And I can still picture the wooden pegs and mussel shells they used in the river to illustrate Israel crossing the Red Sea. We don't realise how the Bible stories we hear in our childhood impact on our lives. They are from God's word and they are living and active. God was wanting the future generations of Israel to know who he was and what he had done for them and how they were to live as his people. This was their history. This was their God. They should remember and delight in it always. This was their heritage with God. The psalmist writes, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. This is the importance of the remembering and not forgetting. It was to pass down to their children and their children's children the knowledge of who God was. as they had seen and felt his power, and they had heard his voice under the statutes, which they could live acceptably to him who had delivered them out of Egypt, and who now appeared to them at Sinai. Stories and conversations about experiences we have help to build and reinforce the faith that we have in the hearts of our children, so that they might live and walk in his ways with reverence and the joy that his presence brings all the days of their lives. God wanted the generations of Israel to come to know him and to walk in his ways. God says to Moses, "Do not forget, but make known and remember that they may teach." In other words, tell your children, teach them to live in holy reverence to me. Commentator Ajif Fernando writes, "The Jewish forms of family instruction were and are still very pleasant. Teaching times were happy times. And that is what we should aim at doing with our children." He continues, "I like to think of myself as a Bible teacher, but I have no hesitation to say that the most important Bible teacher in my life was my mother. She was a convert from Buddhism. I do not think she ever attended a class on how to study the Bible, but she told her children the stories of the Bible when we were children, and from those we imbibed the Christian worldview, which all five of us continue to espouse." It is only by our remembrance of God that we can cling to God. It is only by our remembering that we can pass on the knowledge of God. Their remembrance is for the sakes of our children and for the sakes of all those who may hear God's grace through us. We want our children and others to come to God and to grow, walking in his ways, and we must remember. It is not just our lives that are at stake, but that of our children and those who may hear through us. So our second point this morning is this: remember God for the sakes of others. Remember God so that you can tell others who he is and what he has done in your life. If Israel will remember God for both their own sakes and for the sakes of others, then it stands that God worthy of remembrance. As the living creatures around God's throne, the book of Revelation explain, "Worthy are you, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." We ought to remember first for our own sakes, and secondly for the sakes of others, for our benefit and for the benefit of the world around us. The third reason to remember is the foundation of the first two points. The reason we remember and why we remember can only come from what we remember. What we saw and heard must impact us. I wonder whether the shepherds at the birth of Jesus ever forgot the angel herald and chorus or the sight of the baby Jesus. I doubt the apostle John ever forgot standing at the foot of the cross. And I don't think Paul and forgot his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. The Gospels say of Mary's witness of Jesus' childhood that she kept all these things and treasured them in her heart. What she saw of Jesus she kept, and she pondered, and she treasured them in her heart. Now that's a lesson for us. That is how we never forget. When we treasure and ponder the memory within our hearts. So what did Israel see? We read the full account of this in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. And the first thing we want to take notice of is that in Exodus 19, verse 10. The people were to consecrate themselves over 2 days. They were to outwardly make themselves presentable and holy to God. This included washing their clothes and abstaining from sexual relations. God's presence was going to be manifested, and they must keep themselves ceremonially clean and make themselves ready for God. That's what this means for us this morning. It means if you want to enter into God's presence, if you want to know God's presence, then we must prepare ourselves. You cannot live a carnal, worldly life and then expect to know God's intimate presence. God is holy. We read in Ephesians 5 that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her through the washing with water through the word. Why? To present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Washing through the word implies that we are obedient to God and living lives according to God's word through the Holy Spirit, and that we are without blemish because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I wonder if you have prepared yourself for worship this morning. Did you make yourself right with God, confessing any of your unrepentant sin, and spending time with him in prayer and in his word? The Israelites had to prepare themselves for 2 days, and on the third day, God was to appear to them. So what did they see? We read in Exodus. On the third day, there was thunder and lightning, the thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. I wonder this morning if you have ever heard the sound of a large storm. I'm sure you all have. With lightning streaking brilliantly across the sky, and the thunder booming with a continuous crackle, so that it is nearly impossible to hear anything else. I wonder then what this display of the power of God was like. Take notice of the words from Exodus. Dark clouds over the mountain. This was something local to that spot. Remember, Israel was led to the desert by a column of cloud. But in this display of God was like nothing that they had ever seen. Hear the deafening boom of the thunder. And all of a sudden, a trumpet blast from within the cloud. And the sound resonating is such that it overpowers even the noise of the thunder. It is the trumpet call of God for Israel to assemble. And we read that everyone in the camp trembled. In Hebrews 12, we read that Moses himself was so terrified that he said, "I am terrified and trembling." Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Today's passage we read in verse 11 that the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of heaven. Darkness, cloud, and deep gloom. Fire blazed as if to the heart of the heaven. I wonder this morning if you've ever seen the spectacle of a cane fire. Then imagine the flames reaching as high as you can see. At the same time, imagine the darkness and how thick it must have been to envelop it, for God had descended on Mount Sinai. Psalm 18 tells us that God made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. The Bible tells us that God is light. If the light of the glory of God had shone through, then all Israel would have perished. God dwells in unapproachable light. That God came upon the mountain in fire speaks of God's holiness and justice, for our God is a consuming fire. Smoke billowed up like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. Notice it's not the ground that trembled. but Mount Sinai itself, all 2,285 metres of it. That speaks of God's dreadful power, but also his complete sovereign control. The blast of the trumpet continued to grow louder and louder. Mention the trumpet call of God that will call the dead in Christ to arise. Those who are alive will assemble in the sky. It shall be heard throughout the earth and hear the deafening sound at Sinai. Then Moses spoke and God answered. God could hear the small voice of Moses as all Israel quaked at the mighty voice of God. The people said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will perish." In our passage this morning, Moses says, "The Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form, only a voice." Now this is significant. It is not so much the fact here that no one can see God and live. It was so Israel wouldn't reduce God to an image made of wood, stone, or gold, and worship an image of God instead of God himself. God is pure, radiant spirit. They saw a manifestation of the glory and the presence of God in an awesome display. They didn't see God himself. They heard his voice, and he declared to them his covenant. That is the Ten Commandments. What Israel saw and heard so that they might hold God in reverence and awe all the days of their lives. It was of such power and might that they would remember and pass it on to the generations to come. God was saying through Sinai, "See my glory and power and holiness, and follow me all the days of your life, and I will be with you, and I will be your God." And history tells us Israel would soon bow down to the golden calf. But eventually, they would go into exile for abandoning God. Hear God say to us this morning, "See my holiness and love and mercy displayed in the death of my only Son upon the cross for your sin. See my glory and power and majesty in his resurrection, so that you can come to me in faith and be washed clean from your sin stain, and that you may be my people, and that I will be your God forever." Israel was to remember for their own sake, and they were to remember for their posterity's sake, that the Lord God Almighty was God of Israel. This was their spiritual heritage, their identity as a nation. Their remembrance of these things was so that they could live, honoring the covenant relationship that they had with God. And God would be their God, and that he would dwell in their midst. They would be his people. They just had to remember. So our third and last point this morning is this. Remember God, for he is God, and he is worthy of all remembrance. We as a nation celebrate our heritage on days like Anzac Day. And if we're familiar with the phrase, "lest we forget," these words literally means it should not be forgotten. This is important. It should not be forgotten. These words were penned 20 years before the First World War ended by the poet Rudyard Kipling in his poem, Recessional. Let me read to you the first stanza. "God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and high. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. This poem in its entirety speaks of the futility of the schemes and empires of man and calls for us to remember the perpetuality and reliability of the God who made us and saved us. We celebrate Christmas to remember Christ's birth. We celebrate Good Friday and Easter Sunday to remember Christ's death and resurrection. We've partaken of the Lord's Supper this morning so we may remember Him. It's easy for us to remember God on these occasions. But what about all the other days? What Israel saw and heard was so that they might learn to fear God all the days of their lives. And so that they might pass their faith on, pass their heritage on to the next generation. So when you walk out of this door of this building this morning, are you going to remember who you are in Christ and live it every moment of the day, wherever you are? Or will you soon bow down to the golden calf that is the world in which we live? If you remember, you must spend time with God daily. You must come before Him on His terms and not your own, that is washed in the water of His word. Spend time with God so that your hearts and minds and souls are refreshed daily and filled with remembrance of the glory and greatness of our God, lest we forget, lest we forget. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we leave this place this morning, Father, help us to remember who You are and what You have done for us. Father, help us to always have before our minds how great You are. That we would live our lives in holy reverence and awe to You, and that we'd make You known to those all around us. Father, cultivate in us the delight and the discipline to spend time with You each day, in Your presence and prayer and in Your word. Father, enable us in these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.